Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Week in League. In a refreshing irony bomb, Rockstar Amy is the first shark to take part in the grand final without drugs.
Tyrone May fizzles in grand final as Craig Bellamy doesn't play two rat bags on the Storm's left side.
State of Origin 2020 promises the highest quality series in history as it's confirmed that no West Tigers players will take part.
Plus, we look back at all the action from the 2020 NRL grand final.
All that and more as we can leave. Welcome to episode 374 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
How you doing, fella?
Man, I am surprisingly upbeat.
Why? Honestly.
Because I look at the season as a whole, and you know me, I am
delusional.
The greatest person on earth. At lighting candles instead of cursing
That's
darkness.
True. I suppose, yeah. Anything. So yeah, you gotta find reasons not to hang your belt over the doorknob.
Oh, look, you know, when that's a usual Thursday. But look, also just production notes: we are doing this one remote.
Yep.
As for a second time in 7 days, a storm has fucked my evening.
Yeah, and in this case, on this occasion, it's fucked your babysitting.
It has fucked my
your regularly scheduled babysitting. Yes. Babysitter.
That's so, it. So.
So that's all good. So, yes. we're doing this one remotely. Which, to be honest, you know, in the advent of NBN and you know Skype video calling and things like that, it's not that different, really. I mean. You know, sound wise, you know, like your end is not, you know, it doesn't sound as nice sound wise because I mean the microphone in here is like set up and you know tailored, you know, volume wise.
Ripped for my pleasure.
Yeah, it's exactly, but you know, it's not terrible either. Like I mean, it was an impossibility. But in the day, it was just not possible. Yeah, probably 3 years ago.
Oh,
but
technology.
But yeah, things have improved. So. So
people can hear my sobbing.
Yeah, that's right. I can see it.
In high def 1080p.
Yep. 4K, you can like see the glistening of the tears. You can almost you know, quality's so good you can almost see the actual reason behind each tear.
If you zoom in, my tear ducts are actually shaped like Bill Kickow and the tears are just rugby league balls dropping out.
Now, obviously, it's not going to be a long episode this week because, yeah, well, twofold. There's not a lot of stories going on at the moment. There's a lot of grand final dissection and opinions. The origin stuff is just kind of dawning at the moment. And what we're left with in between is not a great deal of solid news reporting to really speak about. Flano Jr., though. First, he's left the Roosters.
Flagu.
Yeah.
Is that Flagu?
We call him Flange. Flange.
It's just Flange. Like,
yeah. He's left the Roosters a year early. Last week we were talking about the story that the Roosters had basically decided that after 1 year of a virtual rookie at the club, they decided that he wasn't good enough this year and wasn't going to ever be good enough for them. And so they sort of told him he wasn't going to be re-signed following next season. He's signed a deal with the Doggies, and they've obliged by letting him go early. And
yeah, as they were always going to do.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I still think, like, it's there's a lot of, I don't know, people just trying to make sense of it all. And, you know, everyone's got their opinion on how good he is as a player or how, I mean, end of the day, yeah, he was, I feel like he was a solid and in some cases the, you know, the best contributor for that team in a year where
yes.
they suffered, they had a lot of injuries through the year. They still had some guys out, you know, with season ending injuries when they needed them in the finals.
Yep, they did.
And, you know, he Kiri kind of went missing as much, if not more, when it counted.
Yeah. He did. My take on this is a young half is as good as, you know, there's obviously some natural ability that goes into the equation.
Yep.
There's more so than that, I believe, how well he does under pressure. So, for example, Lachlan Lewis,
mm-hmm.
he's one of those people who almost has that James Maloney-esque, and I remember, I'll paraphrase from Gus here, but he was speaking about the greatest thing about Maloney was that if he throws 100 terrible passes, he's still yelling for the ball for 101. You know, he can do everything wrong, but each play is a new opportunity for him.
Yeah.
Whereas Lachlan Lewis had that. I think Flanagan performed relatively well under pressure most of the time. He executed a game plan from what I saw, you know, as well as I think anyone could really expect a probably a rookie to do so.
Yep.
The story that I've heard that makes the most sense, and this goes under the old adage of the simplest explanation is probably the right one, is that the Roosters need to manage their salary cap very carefully.
Yeah.
Well, fuck, I just heard all the groans and giggles from the future as people heard me say that. But they need to manage their salary cap very carefully. His position is one that they have a lot of depth in.
Yeah.
In terms of people coming through.
Yeah, and in terms of depth, it's not it's not as much of a gaping chasm of like for like.
Yeah.
As it was. I mean, like, obviously going from Cooper Cronk to a guy who's practically a rookie is a massive difference in terms of, like, you know, leadership, everything, plus, you know, the inherent abilities and maximum potential abilities of the two players. But, you know, when you're comparing Flanagan, though, to Lachlan Lamb, who played some games this year, and then Sam yep. Walker, who's, you know, apparently, you know, in quotes, a teen sensation, teen prodigy, whatever you want to call him.
That's it. So if, if you've got two there for coverage and also for, you know, a little bit of pressure on each other, then one year's experience might be worth $100,000.
Yep.
In terms of managing your salary cap. So that's the explanation I heard that made the most sense to me. Because you're right, he wasn't dreadful. And although, you know, how do we know that it wasn't said at training that, you know, Flange, you're not to kick a ball this week. You fucked up at training, and so your penalty is you don't kick a ball. And he went out there and said, fuck you, and kicked a bunch of them anyway.
Yeah.
Who fucking knows?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, who knows?
Yeah. It's also been said that the Sharks were keen to bring him back, and they tabled him an offer last week, but it didn't match the cash that Canterbury were able to offer and prepared to pay. And it is said that the 3-year deal is $1 million plus. So that's probably.
But that's not a year.
No, I don't think that. Surely not. Surely not.
So he's not Ben Hunt 2.0.
No, exactly. And I mean, if you want to shell $1 million, I mean, they probably would have had the option of several other players if they're throwing that out a year. So I think if they're getting him for like $350 a year or something like that, that's probably not a bad result. I mean, you know, whatever the quality of his play through the year this year, he's you know, being shunted unceremoniously like 3 days after, you know, losing your semi.
Yeah.
It's fucking ruthless, and it's not a good look. You know, a reflection on you as a player, even though it's not necessarily your fault. I mean, you're dealing with a ruthless fucking club that, I mean, well, you know, like, allegedly has variously covered up or exposed drug offences.
Yeah. Yeah.
In order to either maintain control of or seek the release of players in the last 5 years. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're ruthless bastards, and I mean, that's why they've been on top, you know? Like, that's, yeah, I can't hate it. If I was a Roosters fan, I'd be like, fucking, that kind of ruthless demeanor is fantastic.
It's big dick club energy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. But he's off the doggies now and under the sexy good bloke regime.
Yes.
I guess, time will tell.
SGB.
Now, another story, and this is like one we've mentioned, like talking about Joseph Suaali. Remember, he started off the like, Rabbits were going to, how much were they going to pay him? It was a fucking fortune, like age 17.
Everything.
They're going to lock him in for like, you know, like a 5-year deal or, you know, whatever. And it was like millions.
Yeah.
Then it was like, oh, he's gonna go to rugby. But then it's like, oh, he's not going to go to rugby. They can only pay him fucking 10 cents. And they were trying to get him over on the whole thing. Like, you know, we're an international sport. You can play World Cups and you can play in, like, you know, sevens in like, the, you know, the Olympics. And
the Olympics.
All that sort of thing. And so that was their kind of, you know, unique selling proposition to get him over to the union. And then he's like, no, he's not doing that. He's not going to union. And now it's like he's fielding good offers from a club such as the Roosters, who, speaking of the big dick club energy, are apparently so intent on pursuing him and freeing up the funds to do so that someone like Angus Crichton could be pushed out to open up cap space for them to do so. And this is
Jesus Christ.
This is a guy, like, particularly in the second half of the year, like, it was fucking great. So, I don't know. I saw that and I was just like, fucking, I was bemused by it all.
And this is one of those unfortunate situations where South Sydney went back to him, because if you remember, he wanted that stupid clause in his contract that
could sort of, you know, go at any time.
That's it. I'll play for South, but I'm able to leave to take up an offer from rugby at any time for, you know, whatever reason. They told him to fuck off.
Yep.
And now the Roosters swoop in. Exactly. It's also an interesting move, because if there's any position where you can afford to sit back and let somebody find their feet at another club and then take them a bit later on, like, the kid plays prop. How many rookie props have come in and actually mixed it with the best of the best?
Yeah, it's very few.
Like, you can look at halves, you can look at wingers and centres, and obviously fullbacks. All those positions where speed and agility are great attributes. But those guys going up against seasoned veterans in the middle don't tend to have amazing first seasons where they get over their opposition every week.
Yeah, and I mean, it's said to be, you know, like a prop sort of maturing and their prime is, you know, years after they debut.
Yeah,
you know,
that's it.
Okay, I'm trying to think of like young props who came in and just wrecked shit up. Like, remember, like Mark O'Mealy, he was probably,
he was
pretty decent. Like, when he burst on the scene, he was just a young fucking maniac.
Like Fifita and Payne Haas, you know.
Yeah.
But again, you threw them against the Papalis of the world,
yeah,
and they came up short.
Yep.
Hmm. Exactly. Interesting so, move,
you know,
Roosters.
And maybe this Crichton thing is also a part of just, you know, freeing up some salary cap, not just for this for Suaali, but also because, you know, they've got guys like, you know, they've got back rowers like, you know, Verrills and Radley and guys like that to come,
that's
you know,
it.
To come back in, you know, that
yep.
did their ACLs through the year. And yeah, presumably someone like Radley or Verrills will have to take care of Jake Friend eventually. I mean, he can't be too long for this world.
Not at all.
But, yeah.
Fuck, what about Cordner?
Yeah, I mean, there's no...
Like, he'd have to be on decent coin.
He would be on decent coin. And like, he's not...
But he seems to have crossed that Roosters threshold.
Like, the
like there's that Roosters threshold.
The Fitzgibbon, Orbison...
That's it, yeah, where, you're kind of a where we'll shunt you... Yeah, we'll shunt you at a moment's notice or protect you mercilessly.
Yeah.
The club that poor old Sean Kenny Dowell thought he was a part of.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is about Cordner is that I think if they want to protect him, they need to conjure up a great coaching staff job and get him groomed to become a head coach.
Yeah.
Sooner rather than later, because, I mean, that guy, he's out of nearly every other player in the league at the moment, he's the one that I probably have to hold the gravest fears for in terms of, like, brain injury.
He's the only one I've seen that has to say the nursery rhyme out loud to himself when he ties his bootlaces up.
Yeah, and I mean, he's achieved a lot in the game.
He's achieved everything you can achieve.
But I would not be sad if he just said, look, you know, some things are more fucking important. Like, for example, my quality of life for, you know, the next fucking 50 years after my rugby league career is finished. And, you know, maybe take the safer option.
Yeah.
Is there any other new 100%. Stuff you want to talk about through the week? I mean, obviously we're going to get to the...
No, not actual news.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of like... they're trumpeting this situation with Steve Hansen, who is the legendary All Blacks coach. They're talking, oh, you know, it's a stunning coup for the Bulldogs for him to join the club. But really, he's going to come over every so often, pending COVID restrictions. And his title is High Performance Consultant. But essentially, he's going to be making some semi-regular trips to Sydney and, you know, potentially opens up the Bulldogs to a pathway of maybe bringing some Kiwi Union players into the fold and that kind of thing. But I mean, it's weird when we talk about high performance managers. It seems like he's basically like the NZ chief of, you know, recruitment operations or something like that, you know.
Fucking Christ, Dogs. How about you focus on getting your players good at rugby league before you start looking at ones you need to teach the sport to?
Yep.
Exactly. Fuck me. That's not a coup at all. What that is what every consultant calls a dream engagement, where somebody comes to you and says, I'll pay you a shit ton of money to work very little hours. And you say, thank you very much. I'm proud to be a member of your organization. I feel as if I belong here and I've been here all my life. Which is exactly what this guy's done.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And, I mean, do we need to speak about the Origin squads at the moment? I feel it's kind of a little bit premature given, you know, we've got our 27-man squads named.
Yes.
There's not a hell of a lot of surprises in either of them. I mean, Queensland obviously have, a lot of injuries, to players that they would have walk-up starts in their side.
Should we run through it? Yeah. Only because by next episode we're going to be watching it.
Yeah, sure, okay. So, The New South Wales side, and this is just going through alphabetically, Josh Adokar, Nathan Brown, RCG, Nathan Cleary, Damien Cook, Boyd Cordner, Nick Kotrick, Angus Crichton, Stephen Crichton, Dalfa Nukin, Tyson Frizzell, Clint Gutherson, Payne Haas, Luke Keary, Zach Lomax, Jerome Luai, Cameron McInnes, Cameron Murray, Ryan Pappenhausen, Junior Polo, Daniel Saifidi, Teddy, Jake Turbo, Daniel Tupo, Cody Walker, Jack Whiten, Isaiah Yeo.
Look, there are a couple of names in there that you probably wouldn't say are walk-ups for an Origin side, but that seems a very strong team. Can you think of anyone that's left out?
Apart from like the aforementioned David Clemmer situation that we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
We understand why he's not there.
Other than that, anyone who's left out that should be there is only left out through injury.
Yeah, so, that's it. I think RP was unlucky not to get a call-up.
Yeah, but having said that, he would have only ever been second fiddle to Cook. And they've got McInnes in there as the second.
As the cover. But that's what I'm saying. Is McInnes... did McInnes have a better season than Appy?
Well, I mean, I think they're probably looking at it from the perspective of Cook is going to be the guy and he's an 80-minute guy. Cameron McInnes is there if he needs to be, but also Cameron McInnes, remember, played a lot of lock. So he's like I guess he's just a more versatile bench guy because that's probably the maximum impact they see him having.
Yeah.
And it's for the same reason that...
But see, then I ask you that question.
Because, like, look at Clint Gutherson. I mean, Teddy is overcoming an injury, but...
And he's still a better fullback,
But you still got Pappenhausen sat there
exactly.
as well. And he's arguably... Yeah, he's vying for the position on a level playing field against Teddy. The only Teddy's got ahead of him really is incumbency. And so if it's an injury situation, I mean, Pappy's there all day before Gutherson.
Yes.
And there's been talk that Gutherson is, you know, going to be slotted into the centres or something. And in terms of like a bench versatile kind of guy, yeah, you're probably looking at, you know, Cody Walker's that guy.
Yes.
You know, and then, you know, with the assumption that it'll be Keary and Cleary in halves.
Based on the season, that was my side.
Yep.
And I got a fucking hard on thinking of the attacking potency of having Cleary and Keary in the halves and then Whiten and Walker in the centres.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the fucking options that gives you.
Yeah.
How the hell fucking Gutho ends up in there? Who knows? But
I mean,
but again, back to McInnes. Is McInnes at lock? Right?
Yep.
Is he a state of origin quality lock?
Look, I don't know, and I don't think he would be. I think he's really primarily there just in case Cook gets fucking killed. I mean that's pretty much the only reason he's there, in my opinion. Because when you look at the forwards and the way that you can, the composition of the pack, you could do things like, have Cameron Murray in there and then move Jake Turbo to prop. And like
my concern though is McInnes didn't have a fantastic season behind the Dragons and they were playing like shit, given. However, he didn't have a fantastic season last year either.
Yeah.
You know? Why is the guy who's covering for the hooker just in case he gets killed the guy whose style of gameplay is removed from Cook and what he does well? And again, if I had to look at something that I would change in that side, that's what I get to.
Yeah, I think that's it's all predicated on a worst case scenario.
Yeah.
You know, of a guy getting, a player who's you have to say is durable.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, remember that final against fucking who was it they were playing against? And it was just that final, the finals this year when it was like he got axed and it looked like he had a knee injury, and then he literally got up like the next, like the next set and streaked away and scored a try. So, I'm never gonna believe he's down until the scan tells me so. The Queensland 27 man squad. Obviously, a lot of injuries in there with Callum Ponga, David Fifita, Cole Felt, Dylan Napa, and more out. Alphabetically again, Jai Arrow, AJ Bramstone, Fodawaker, Philip Sammy, Edric Lee, Heimel Hunt, Val Holmes, Cohen Hess, Xavier Coates, Pat Carrigan, Ben Hunt, Josh Kerr, Harry Grant, DCE, Jake Friend, Lindsay Collins, Jaden Sewer, Corey Allen, Dane Gagai, Dunamis Louis, Josh Papali'i, Kurt Capewell, Tino Fasamaluai, Brenko Lee, Cameron Munster, Christian Welch, Felice Kafusi, obviously a big chunk of Storms being added following the grand final.
Yep.
There are a couple of extremely settled positions for Queensland that are you could lock them in 100%.
But correct.
It's like their forwards have this massive, sort of injury affected nature to them, but they also have a lot of guys who've had great fucking unheralded guys who had great seasons.
Yeah.
And young guys who are coming the fuck up. Tino from the Storm, for example.
Yes. He's
fucking great. Dunamis Louis, you would never think about his, mentioning his name, State of Origin. But then you're like, he was fucking great this season.
Yep.
Fodawaker.
Yeah, and then you throw in there the Papali'is and...
Yeah, yeah, and the ones that the guys...
And Wanda Sykes.
Yeah, the guys that are there already, yeah. But it's when you look at the backs, though.
Yeah.
That's where they've got some serious problems. I mean, presumably Bramson will be the fullback at the expense of Callum Ponga, who's injured. Val Holmes, I think he's suspended for game one of the Origin, so he's not available. So when you look at that, you've got you got Edric Lee, Philip Sammy, Heimel Hunt, Xavier Coates. I'm just looking at centers, wingers, fullback contenders.
Yeah,
Corey Allen, Gagai. Gagai's obviously got a spot nailed down.
Yep.
Brenko Lee. That list of guys that I just mentioned is not a fucking imposing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for State of Origin level,
it's not
alone club level.
They're all guys who had, game breaking or game winning moments during the year and some decent highlight reel type moments. But going to be very interesting to see how they go in the cauldron that is Origin.
Yep.
I think if New South Wales can really get in their heads, and that's where I really hope that Cody Walker is in the starting side.
Yeah, and the thing is, New South Wales, when you look at the cattle that they have on offer there that they can put into their back line for Queensland, New South Wales just has to match their forwards.
Yeah.
At worst, if they just have to match them. They don't have to roll them. They just have to match them. And then guys like Cook and Cleary and Keary and Walker and Whiten, those guys aren't like guys that had like a fucking highlight reel moment once in the season or something. They're guys that fucking did that shit week in, week out.
Yeah, that's
it. And they're just going to absolutely fucking destroy.
Yes.
Those guys. So
basically, State of Origin will continue # Yuri of Cleary.
Yeah. Yuri Cleary's dead, man.
It's not.
It's over.
How is it dead? How is it dead?
It's so dead.
17 in a row.
It's so dead.
Minor premiers.
An embarrassing performance in the grand final.
See,
practically lost his team the grand final, but for the fact that there was someone else in this team that tried to lose it for them more.
You know what? I feel sorry for you that the young man out there and making mistakes and learning lessons is the object of ridicule.
I'm not ridiculing you. I was just merely stating the facts.
No, that's ridicule.
No, I don't. I've got there's no malice behind it. That's just cold analysis. It doesn't make me feel. It doesn't make me feel good to say it. I mean, he said it himself, but it doesn't make me feel good to repeat it.
Mm. But the Yeary is still going. The year didn't end, and it is the Yeary of Cleary. That's just cold hard facts.
The hashtag has ended.
Well, the Yeary continues
by his own hand. The year 2020 continues, and the hashtag ended the moment that he fucking walked down the tunnel at 7 p.m. last Sunday night,
Still a year of clear.
Ate a fucking bat on the way out of the tunnel.
Mm.
And
because
any love from the Origin, and I'm sure Yuri of Cleary is about to take off.
No, it's Yuri of Cleary, and I'm bashing through the pain on this because I read in the game comments for the grand final, and I'm fucking scared that it'll happen. Is all of these absolute shit cunts are going to vote for it as hashtag of the year just so I have to read it out and relive everything that happened the other night in the fucking Twillies.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning into it hard
while there is,
and still loving the Yuri of Cleary.
While I would, So what you're doing is you're basically consigning it to defeat in the...
No. I'm reclaiming it. I'm taking it back.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think
it can't be used against us.
I don't think you got a lot of choice in the matter, to be honest. I'll tell you what, though, if nothing else, it's certainly created some interesting narratives about it'd be an interesting betting market, because there's so many reasons about why people would vote for it, against it, for something else. And
don't make me read it out. Fuck. Can't.
Recaps. The grand final, the NRL grand final. The Melbourne Storm 26 defeated the Panthers 20 at ANZ Stadium in front of a crowd of 37,303. I thought it was meant to be 40. Was it, when I was talking about the numbers, was it meant to be just like 40 grand, like just as something, just like rounding up as a number or something like that? Because it was apparently sold out by the end of it, but it was, you know, as far as grand finals go, very late in the, I mean, like apparently there were still tickets available.
My feeling is that normally when they give these stats, they're talking about ticket sales.
Yeah.
Normally when they say attendance is, they're talking about ticket sales.
Yeah, scans through the thing.
In today's day and age, no, just ticket sales.
Yeah.
So
not tickets used.
No, not tickets used. Well, however,
we count tickets
in the age of
though.
In the age of COVID.
Yeah.
They must have accounted for every single person. So I just feel as if that number would be more readily available this year.
Yeah.
Whereas in previous years, it wouldn't have been. That information, because the NRL doesn't give a fuck how many tickets come through the gate. The NRL cares how many tickets are sold.
Yeah. It's the... Well, but previously, and I mean, I've mentioned this on the show before, but yeah, previously, you know, for ground attendances and things like that, it was just, it wasn't anything to do with anything. It was literally just a fucking guess.
Mm.
And now, you know, that's changed somewhat now because there are generated numbers from ticket stubs passing through the things and members scanning their, you know, their lanyards and shit as they go through.
Yeah.
But in any case, the Storm's 26 came through tries to Olam, Cameron Smith, Suliasi Vunivalu and Pappy. Smith, 3 or 4 conversions, 2 penalty goals. The Panthers, 20 tries to To'o, Cleary, Crichton and Mansour, and 2 or 4 conversions to Nathan Cleary. Is there anything you'd like to say?
I will...
First up, before we get to the facts.
I'll give my emotional piece first.
Okay.
Whilst I was saddened with the result, and I was disappointed in a couple of areas within that game, overall, I am just so immensely happy and full of pride in the season that the Panthers had, in that they were vying it out for the spoon last year. They came together as a very young group of players, having lost some massive experience and winning experience in that of Maloney, defensive powerhouse that he was. And they had injury troubles throughout the year. So, you know, for example, people talk about, you know, oh, they had luck with injuries. We were without our first choice fullback for great sections of the year. And young Caleb Aikens.
Yeah, the difference between your first choice and your second choice fullback is about fucking $5 million, though.
Yeah, but it's about
like Caleb Aikens.
It's about cohesion. Who is departing the club, beginning next year, and will be a wonderful get. Where's he going? I think he's going to the Cowboys.
Mm.
Is it the Cowboys? Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know. He's it's a not, terrible loss, though.
It's not Penrith, so you know, fuck him. You know, we were without Jerome Luai for massive parts of the year. We were without Nathan Cleary for stretches this year after, you know, TikTok gate. But for them to come together and put on 17 wins in a row is an absolutely phenomenal effort. And to be going in next year really without too much of a change to personnel. I mean, obviously, Tamau's going and he's been a great leader at the club. Unfortunately, he's going to the Tigers. And by that, I mean, I think his best position, I think the club that uses James Tamau the most at the moment, or the most effectively at the moment, is somebody like the Gold Coast Titans. I think if he was up there in that position, that I am a fucking dead set bench forward. However, I'm going to work with these guys and really mentor them through. I think that would be his swan song, but alas, it's not to be. he will be by miles the best prop at that club. So good on him.
This feels extra emotional because, like, I don't know if it's coming through the microphones, but just the fucking thunder cracking and pissing rain that's going on at the moment.
Yeah. That's actually my heart that you're hearing through the microphone. On the game itself, my feeling, and I said this to you after the game, and I said it, you know, in the groups that were in, is that this was Penrith's grand final to win or lose. The Storm were just a byproduct. They were there. They didn't really do anything special. They don't really deserve any credit. There wasn't anything about what they did on the night that was, you know, when they look back at this grand final, nothing will be said about how great the Storm were. You know,
I think you'd be surprised.
You look at grand finals past and you've got, you know, the Sattler try, or you've got the Benji flick pass, or, you know, you've got Thurston, you know, winning it for the Cowboys.
Yeah, you actually have two of those in this game too for the Storm.
But they won't be shown in highlights.
I guarantee you the Pappenhausen try and the Vooney intercept grand final lore forever and ever. You may downplay
the
Storm.
I'll give you Pappy, but not the other one.
That intercept, to have the balls to go for it, to get it, catch it, get knocked down and half tackled, get up, break through Mansour, who had a proper grip on him,
saying it wasn't a good play. I'm just saying
it was grand final fucking gold.
No, it's nowhere fucking near grand final gold.
I put it to you that it was actually far better than an average forward chasing the slowest winger of the fucking game. Back in an era when you know, players were essentially fucking farmers.
Look.
And I'm talking
you turned up to the grand final in a fucking Peaky Blinders cosplay. Your opinion on anything is now null and void.
Yeah, but you turned up to a grand final in a fucking Nathan Cleary cosplay. So I'm sorry.
There's a
massive glass houses situation here.
One of us is a peak fashion connoisseur. The other one looks like somebody that shouldn't be allowed near schools.
I tell you, those white pants with the fucking white knee length cardigan. I mean, that's pretty much from fucking Dennis Ferguson's couture line that he released shortly before his timely death.
How the fuck is Dennis Ferguson a streetwear icon? grasping at straws like Dylan Edwards grasps at balls.
why is Dylan Edwards your fucking target right now?
Because he grasps at balls better than most people. Fruitlessly.
I feel like in, you know, with the old adage of you're only as good as your last game, I feel like he grasped at them more successfully than like someone could say kick out.
Yeah, that's it. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Oh, my God.
Looking over it, and again, there really wasn't anything that Melbourne did as a whole in that game. Penrith's hands let them down. It was going to be as simple
as... Their hands didn't let them down for no fucking reason in a vacuum. The Cameron Smith and the Storm forwards controlled the game so well that Penrith were always coming out of it. And surprisingly to me, Jerome Hughes' kicking game, like his positional fucking kicks the pin guy. Penrith were always starting their sets from, you know, piss poor position.
100%.
They couldn't get any roll forward thanks to the forwards, and particularly guys like Nelson. And as a result of that, then they couldn't do what they've been doing, so they started to panic a little bit, and that's when you see these situations like forward passes 40 meters out from the fucking line, and you know, guys dropping this and passes off the ground and all this sort of shit.
Look, I hear what you're saying there. There have been plenty of times this year where they'd been in exactly that situation and being severely pinned back in the territorial battle, and there were a couple of things that got them out of that. Unfortunately, one of those things was sitting on the bench because there was a coaching decision to put in a better defender than Naden.
He proceeded to not defend that great.
Yeah, he didn't.
Honestly, putting a guy in because he's your fucking son's mate is ridiculous.
I'm not sure that was it.
Massively outcoached, but in that respect.
Looking at it, it reeks like of that old New South Wales.
He got. I think he just got he got head fucked from overthinking it.
Yeah, he did.
Go with your winning combination. Don't worry about what the other guy's doing. Go with the thing that fucking got you all these wins.
But it also wasn't the fact that Penrith's defence had been the issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Their defence had been rock solid all year. There had been one or two times when Naden had brain snaps. But he was by far, not the worst defensive reading centre that you'd come across in the competition.
No, and this
But I mean, what it showed me was when he came on, he initially started making those two or three tackle bust runs that he made, gaining easily, 15 metres and setting up for the next play. That's what we missed on that side of the field. The other thing, in terms of the Panthers being young, it doesn't occur to them to switch up the person. And by that I mean, Melbourne did an absolutely stellar job of putting pressure on Cleary's kicks. So he had no time in the world. No fucking time. And so he just resorted to booting it instead of any sort of thought of placement or longevity over height, or where it was going, or where his chases were.
Back to the old midfield bomb, Cleary. That,
exactly. There wasn't the thought of, well, okay, if the pressure's coming, let's switch it up. You know, Romy doesn't have the long kicking game that Cleary does. But I'll tell you what, if you've got everyone on that side of the field on board, that the kick's coming, a low fucking Adam Reynolds-style punching, driving kick with a fantastic chase behind it can be just as effective. You know? I know I'm talking about here the deficiencies in thought process on the biggest stage, but it was there that the youth of the Panthers showed through. When the Storm really started applying the screws, that was when the Panthers fell apart mentally, I feel, and started doing those stupid self-destructive things. I'm not sure why Kikau was left on the field for as long as he was.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, this is what, when I say it, talk about, Cleary being massively outcoached. Mm. It's just these mystifying things. Like, mystifying thing number one we spoke about already, like putting May in there instead of Naden, who's been fucking great all year.
Yep.
So you've,
because it's not a surprise anymore.
Yeah, and what you're doing there is saying you don't have faith in Naden.
Yeah.
To do the job that he's done all year.
Yeah.
But then you get Kikau, who's like fucking penalties and drop balls and shit.
Yeah.
Deep in a hole in the first half. But you're showing maximum faith in him when he's losing you the fucking game, when I'm sure that you could put fucking Kurt Capewell in there and he'd just do his fucking job.
Yeah.
And not, obviously, you don't get that, the decoy value and the options, going to the left like that. But fuck it. You just need some solidity.
Yes, that's it. Know? That's it. And so that's what I mean. If you look over that game, Penrith completed at 67%. That's a grand final.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells you everything you need to know in that first stat. The fact that the scoreline was as close as it was goes to what a missed opportunity it was. And I know that,
it also goes came to the home fact that, you were given a try that wasn't a try. The rest of the points were scored against 12 or 11 men. it's the game was far less close than the scoreline indicated, and it's almost fucking mind blowing that there was although there wasn't a chance. I mean, the fact that you could sort of chuck it around and try fucking
and exactly that to me
globetrot it,
that to me just reaffirms that Melbourne are the worst and least deserving premiers. That against such an abysmal side, completing at 67%, they could only eke out a 6-point win. Really, that's it's pathetic, and they should hang their head in shame. And I really hope Bellamy has all of their families docked by a couple of members. That's all only deserved.
I'm sure that they'll agree with you wholeheartedly while they're still drowning themselves in fucking champagne as we speak. Well, I mean, certainly Munster and I assume Brandon Smith are still fucking deep in
somewhere.
Mad Monday. I mean, it's great for Cam Munster. He's finally found a fucking teammate that's willing to go. And it's you see the ski goggle thing, or how that was, and that became a thing that people were fascinated with. It's just good. It's just good OH&S practice, really.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're spraying champagne and, you know, COVID adult hookers, and, you know, I mean, like, so, you know, that are from Victoria.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just trying to think if there's something else that we didn't get in through there.
Look, and I was tossing up whether to talk about this because I don't at all want a ref's fault at all. You know, the referee dropped no balls. The referee threw no forward passes.
He gave you six.
But fuck me, that cunt just legit doesn't know the rules. And I'm talking on both sides. There were some fucking mystifying things in that game. And how Bernie Sutton ended up with the show is...
For example, what are the decisions that you had a problem with that were game-changing decisions?
Just around the... You know, things like policing play the balls. Things like when, you know, like he's called six again and then stopped and gone back and blew a penalty after play had already continued. You know, how many times in a game can play continue and they stop the game and go back?
Yeah, I feel like it didn't happen as much as you think, honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that the worst decision in the game was the one that gave you guys 6 points.
Oh,
by far, because it was black and white.
The obstruction.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that wasn't a refereeing decision. That was a bunker decision.
Well, I mean, bunker's a referee. It's a video referee.
No, I'm talking about Bernard Sutton.
Bernard Sutton's got nothing to fucking do with it, man. It was Jared that was on the field.
Oh, Jared, whatever. Fucking... See?
Stop blaming the fucking... Why you got to bring his man's family into this?
Fucking hell. I'm so used to going off at fucking Mr. Six again.
Yeah. Now, have you got any tweets of value? I mean, it's funny. Like today, I sort of did the mailbag stuff for this episode, and so many people are just like, they treated the mailbag section like the comment section for the grand final, notwithstanding the fact that the grand final thread on Facebook had like 400 comments on it as well.
Yeah, that's it. Ben said the riff did not handle the pressure at all tonight. No. Our dear friend Carsten, who, if everyone doesn't know Carsten, get on Twitter or the Facebook group and say good day. NRL fan in Switzerland, but a Z German.
In between hoarding Nazi gold and treasure.
Yes. So when he was selecting a rugby league team, he picked the one that Cohen Hess plays for. So you take from that what you will. Nathan said, fucking Penrith beating themselves. Danny said, I hope Victoria gets another 8 weeks of lockdown thanks to those bunch of purple cheats. Yes, I said it. Eat a bag of dicks. Isaac said, can someone explain this 44 thing to me? I feel like I've missed some bands. So as not to name anyone that might be offended, back in the days when NRL Twitter was in its infancy and there was probably less than 150 people that would get in every week and talk about games, the most refs faulting of all refs faulters, in fact, the person who the phrase was coined after, was a Panthers fan. Mm-hmm. And he had a 44 at the end of his Twitter handle. And so the minute anyone blamed the ref... It's why if you go and look up, there's another guy on Twitter at Sharky Dave, his Twitter handle now has a 44 in it, just because he's a fucking ref's faulting cockhead. Matt Hammers said, Penrith have been shown up as the TikTok millennial underachieving group as they appear to be in real life. Absolute fraud minor premiership and will be found out in a real season of football. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. My friend, I'm happy to extend to you the same bet about where our teams will finish on the ladder next year. Publicly. Ben said they have to sort out that HIA rule. I don't think the purple cheats have had a normal interchange. I agree. Nothing to do with that game, though. But we spoke about that last week. That if you start doing shit like stopping games for an assessment of whether a player requires an assessment, that's taking the piss. And they need to be penalised. They need to get him off and he misses the next set, whatever it is.
And honestly, I mean, I thought the grand final was officiated fairly well on that side of things as well, because, I mean, both teams have had plenty of times where they've fucking laid down looking for shit through the season, but it didn't really happen in the grand final.
In an unexpected, measured fucking comment, Super Grover said, congratulations to Penrith Panthers, minor premiers all year, kicked everyone's ass, and the best two teams played it out tonight. There are 14 teams not playing tonight's game. And he said that after the game.
Yeah, so that's fucking loser talk.
This was the comment. Yeah, so is everyone just going to troll the Penrith supporters and vote Yuri of Cleary the best hashtag of 2020? Don't you cunts fucking do it, all right? Ryan said, Cleary at the end was so impressive, but unfortunately the prophecy could not be fulfilled and Penrith were only able to show up for the last 20 minutes or so. Choked harder than Michael Hutchinson in the last minute of his life. Ouch.
Which is ironic. I mean, given, you know, we had the wonderful pre-match entertainment by from Amy Shark where we got a cover of Never Tear Us Apart as well. And it was at that moment I thought, wow, something special could happen tonight. I mean, they've tailed the pre-match entertainment to us.
Yes, I
never thought I'd see that when they...
You'd be surprised the reach we have.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
And at least, you know, speaking for the Brisbane grand final watching crew, I mean, there was at least four of those
Trust Us t-shirts
in attendance at the event.
Speaking of, Alexander, good to see you again at the meetup, brother. What's the opposite of a Clive Churchill medal and how does Mansource get it? Fuck me.
I think Kickout would have fucking beaten him to it by the length of the straight.
Look, I'll tell you what. I can cop Kickout's brain explosions to a point. You know, the dropsies and the passing off the ground and all of that just dumb shit. That try that Vooney bombed where he bobbled the ball.
Yep.
That was fucking, you know, 2 years ago Mansour turning around and jogging back, forgetting that every other winger in the competition is bigger than you, faster than you and stronger than you. And he's going to fucking jostle you out of position because you don't turn your head, you lazy cunt. The best Bailey in the world, Chris, said Penrith came up short. They were taught a lesson tonight. They'll be better for that. Bring on next year. Hashtag Yeary of Cleary. That's winner's talk right there. Jason said, well, this game had it all. Penalty try, intercept try, a massive comeback, two sin bins. Congrats to the Storms. Commiserations to the Panthers. But they have a great young team that will be tough to beat for the next few years. Hashtag Yeary of Cleary. Hashtag Yeary of not this Yeary. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. John said, got to lose one to win one. As they say, puts the kids in good stead for the next season and the coming ones. Michael said, fuck all you cunts. Purple pride. Up the fucking Storms. Mitch said, the better team won. Penrith were too costly with the shitty handling errors and that typical shit cunt Melbourne tactics were in force again. Fucking trainers holding shit up unnecessarily. Shunter. You know what? Nice measured response from Shunter. He said, vintage hook Panthers tonight. Glad they fought to the death, but those missed opportunities in the first half were a killer. James said, Melbourne played like champions. Panthers played like contenders, but I can't think of a team that ever came back from 26-0 down and really took it to the Storm. Panthers are a special team on the cusp of a dynasty. Hashtag Yuri of Cleary. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Hashtag Tigers in decline. Rusty said, Kickow made 5 errors alone. You can't give anything like that to a top team like the Storms. They are too good to give cheap ball to. Papi deserved the medal and finally something that wasn't narrative-driven being awarded on merit. Who'd have thunk it? Onwards and upwards for the Panthers. Storm's just too good, but they can fuck off back to that hellhole now. There we go.
There's a couple of good ones in the... and yeah, you had one from Shunter earlier, but I mean, he left this one in the mailbag for today. If you could pick a centre, would you pick a specialist centre with good attacking skills, continuity with his teammates and iffy defence, or your son's mate, the sex pest Bilo Bo Scott?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, Tyrone May coming in as a super sub forward.
Yeah. Had some great moments.
Had been fantastic all year. It's again, how fucking hard is it to understand that there are some threats in rugby league that are always going to be threats, you know? Blinding fucking pace is always going to be a threat. Yep. If you are just stupidly quick, you will have a career. But the other thing in terms of the scope of a team is shit that's not expected. So if all of a sudden someone that's come off the bench that's in the middle of the field or just on an edge has the ability to ball play both ways, short kicking game, all of these attributes that anyone that defends week in, week out against these other forwards isn't looking for, how much of a fucking advantage is that? But, yeah. You know, put him in the centres.
Yep.
Put him in the centres.
And just briefly, the Brisbane Broncos won their 3rd consecutive NRLW title, defeating the Roosters 20 points to 10. The Broncos were in control for the entire duration of the game. When the Roosters got their first try there in the first half, I mean, it kind of, you know, it looked like it was, yeah, they were getting a little bit closer, but the Broncos scored again. And it's just such a massive gap in the quality. And I'm not watching a hell of a lot of the NRLW, but this one, you know, we were already parked at the venue and we were, you know, right in front of the big screen. So we got to watch all this game, you know, very closely. And it's like the front on defense is great. Generally, the work in attack through the forwards is pretty, pretty good. But man, you get a girl out there that's got a little bit of footwork and just runs at the outside shoulder of the defender. And they just get dragged in this arm grabbing shit where it just tackles and just broken easily. And it's really, you just get your person on the outside of that. It doesn't have to be an overlap. Just get them on the outside of their opposite number. And they're just going to drag them down the field.
I refuse to acknowledge anything that team does after what that fucking hair-pulling bunch of gronk grubs did to my girl Isabel Kelly. Well, you know, that's worse than a spear tackle.
Yeah, I don't know. She ducked her head into it. She ducked her ponytail into
backwards.
It.
Yeah, she flicked her ponytail into her hands.
She whipped her hair back and forth and right into it.
Jesus fucking hell.
Right, the mailbag this week. We did get a tremendous amount of mailbag content that was about the grand final, even though we had one of the all-time record length game threads for the grand final. So I'm basically just going to try and just scroll through these and try and find situations where they're not... If they're not related to the grand final, they're at least, you know, like a new angle or a question, or, you know, the surrounding it that we haven't gotten to yet this evening. Maddie said, can we, as a true Tool Nation, come together and once and for all say Cameron Smith needs a cunt punch from Mike Tyson on his way to the glue factory so we can all move on with life?
Yes.
Fuck that guy. I thought that he was purposely trolling the NRL population in that speech after the game when he said, like, it was like, what, no less than three times when he goes, oh, and lastly, blah, 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 said something else. And he goes, and lastly, and it was like every time the lastly, like, oh, he's retired, he's going to retire. And then he goes, and lastly, another one. And then he just never said it. And jeez. I think that was actually like, I don't like the guy, but I mean, I do love a troll. And if that was his intention, I've got to yeah. respect it. Let's scrolling down. There's probably one for you. Would Panthers fans dare resurrect Yuri of Cleary again next year?
Fucking earth. Fucking earth. Because here's the thing. As much fun as it's been, you know, with the hashtag, I don't actually believe that us saying words had any effect on the outcome of the season. This is not the secret. I don't have a vision board. Yeah, where I fucking, maybe that's what did it.
And that's what cost you. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Maybe Barb's vision board or Barb's voodoo dolls.
I can't remember. What is that shit that the secret goes on about? You ask and believed,
but receive.
You didn't believe enough because you didn't receive, see?
Maybe I didn't ask. Maybe I demanded.
I mean, I feel like throwing that fucking hashtag out there was asking plenty. Daniel has said, just ripping to Gus for a few hours. Look, I can't speak with any real authority on how bad Gus was because we were in a, you know, in a pub situation, yeah. And the sound's not great and you're really getting most of the vision. It was almost like watching the game, you know, normally in terms of, you know, without the commentary.
Tell you what though, you just reminded me, the greatest commentary that night was one of the guys at the meetup won $600 on the sports bet. So fucking yeah. well done to you, son.
I feel like just about everybody sitting at our table cleaned up when they paid out Cameron Smith CCM early.
Yeah, that's it.
Alexander said, now that the season's over, can we please burn that knee-length cardigan?
Oh, fucking hell. You know? Taking fashion advice from you cunts is like taking diet advice from John Goodman.
But I believe John Goodman shed a tremendous amount of weight in recent roles.
Recent roles? How many roles has he got left?
Well, I mean, it's more like folds because he's like everything that sort of puffed him out is gone, so he's just left with fucking hanging skin. He basically looks like he's melted.
He looks like he's wearing a skin-coloured knee-length cardigan when he's wearing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. let's see. I'll scroll down. My God, there's still so much fucking Penrith Storm final stuff. Ryan said, is it high time for non-internationals to finally learn the Australian anthem so they don't look like complete tools when they're barely mumbling the incorrect words while on national TV? Maybe hold these lessons in the same seminars where players are specifically told that rape is bad, okay? Oh, I feel like players have probably got more on their fucking plate in that moment.
I also find it hard, a ceremonial thing that
has to be, you know, gone through.
Yeah.
But you're also like, when the anthem's on, you're like fucking 60 seconds away from, you know, the biggest moment of your life too.
You know what? The other thing is, I've got a fucking terrible singing voice. And so if the camera ever hit on me when the anthem was going, you wouldn't be watching that at home and think, geez, he's enunciating every syllable flawlessly. Look at that projection. You know, my mouth's going up and down and, you know, I get girt by C and I think so. Yeah, I'm not too bothered by that. Although when Queenslanders do it during State of Origin, I will fucking rage at them.
Yeah.
Unpatriotic cunts.
Yeah, but I mean, they're often from other countries, that's why.
Although the then, PNGs, you know, yes. Very good.
Sam said, if the grand final was best of three, like someone proposed earlier in the year, could Penrith bring in Maloney in game two to carry Cleary? Then maybe sign Pierce for game three when Nathan disappears completely?
Oh, you sound like a Newcastle fan. If it was a best of three, Penrith win that series. Comfortably.
There's absolutely no evidence of that.
Yeah.
At all. Zero evidence.
Yeah, just like there's zero evidence of anything that happens in the future.
Well, so don't fucking say it then. Unless the only chance Penrith would have had to win that game, like a series of three, was if they played like with halftime break in between each 40-minute half, and they played it straight up with 240 minutes of football.
If we get to the stage where all we're allowed to say are things that are empirically true, you'd end up living in a fucking hole wearing white robes with a bunch of people following you saying your silence is so fucking profound because you'd never say another word in your life.
Andrew, if the grand final was a TikTok video, would Nathan have performed? I guess that's a problem there. Like 39 minutes too fucking long.
Yeah, that's it. Football. That's it. His try was enough of a highlight moment for TikTok.
Yeah, Timmy said, shout out to Sam for hosting the Sydney meetup, and a special mention to the goat, Aaron, for the supply of delicious beer. So, yeah, Sam did hold a get-together at his place that he put out there on the Facebook group for, you know, Sydney-based listeners to enjoy the game. And our multiple award-winning friend, Aaron, had to work on the day, but he made sure he ran around beforehand and dropped a carton of beer off.
Yeah.
Just like fucking champions.
That's
champions.
Class. That's all everyone's class. Champions.
Josh said, here's a non-grand final discussion point. Thank fucking God. Last week, you mentioned how Storm fans would be likely to remember Captain Cuntox in a positive light, as he's their captain and hence someone you basically have to like. Can you lads think of any club captains who the fans of the club couldn't fucking stand? As a Tigers fan, it fucking kills me to see Umbai selected week after week, regardless of any form issues or other options, just because he was made captain 2 minutes after walking into the club. I reckon that when Darius Boyd was captain, Broncos, I mean, you know, Broncos have to take this up and say it's not for me to say, but that seems like something that would be possible.
Yeah.
But not often, I don't think.
No. Look, the interesting thing with Cameron Smith, that cunt's treading perilously close to believing that rugby league is more about him than it is the fans. Like, yeah, little things he does, you know, like sticking the finger up as he's walking up the tunnel the other night. Those sorts of things. Yeah. Like, he's always going to be a polarizing figure. You know? But that very quickly turns undecideds or neutrals off when he starts to, you know, that he's the most important thing and it's his game and it's all about him. That shit doesn't wash here.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something I do like it when a player, like, you know, say like Cameron Smith's being like, you know, maligned increasingly by the league audience or whatever. Mm. But then I hate it when they think that's not me and they act in a certain way, like, you know, like that's not the case. But when they actually accept that's them and then start trolling against it, I love that shit. So
But that's not what he's doing at
all. No, but I feel like that, you know, that lastly, like that speech, I feel like that was like the start, the signs that he's starting to think that way. But you know, I mean, giving him credit is fucking fraught with danger, so let's just not.
Look, I think all of your time playing Pokemon has led you to just look for imaginary things elsewhere in the world when they're not there. Yeah. So fuck him and fuck his legacy.
I could show you my Pokedex and you can see they are actually there. Every one of them. Tipping. Okay, so I didn't get to organise the 1v1 battle at the end for 1 and 2. I knew who each of the guys tipped, and unfortunately, they tipped exactly the same team. They both successfully tipped the Storm, and they actually both successfully tipped the exact same margin as well. I couldn't fucking believe it when independently they both told me that, but that's why they were 1 and 2 in the competition.
Yeah, okay.
And from memory, I think they got it fucking right too. I think they had it at 6. It was either 6 or 8, so they were either bang on,
yep,
tip and margin, or, you know, very close. So JBB's our winner, 131 well done. Points. Second place, King Kong, 130.
How good.
We go two points back to a bit of a jam there with Mrs. Whistle, Warmus, Benny 89, East West Arabian Swamp Echidnas, and Jangles. And then another point back to Kane and Matt, and Mike Corona finishes and rounds out our top 10 at 126. So 5 points from first to 10th. And I gained a ton of places in the last round because it seems a lot of tipsters believed the hype and didn't tip the storm.
Ouch.
So, yeah, and that is it. Full time for episode 374. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us on Twitter. Follow at TWI League on Facebook, facebook.com/thisweekinleague. Our Facebook community lives at hashtag Twill Nation. The direct link, facebook.com/groups/Twill Nation. It's amazing the amount of new members we welcome to the group over the, you know, like the weekend and grand final, like during the game and like Monday morning after the game. It seems like, guys, you kind of a little bit late, but better late than never, right? What else? If you'd like to support the show, make sure you drop us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Like fucking Midi Ned, who put a review through this week on the Australian iTunes store, said 5 stars, guaranteed wet your pants funny. Take two guys who have a high knowledge of the game and a good perspective on rugby league, then add great humor and easy listening, and you get this. Can't rate it highly enough.
Well done.
I can't rate that review highly enough. To be honest, it's fucking tremendous. And that's exactly the sort of stuff that gets read out on the show because it's fucking fantastic. If you want to go the extra mile, of course, our digital memberships are still available and we're going to keep pumping them out. And it can be picked up anytime for only $3.99 a month, $1.99 a month if you're a classic member. And fuck it, tell a friend. That's the easiest way, free way to support the show.
Yes. And, Play us in your place of business over a loudspeaker.
Exactly.
And then pause every 10 seconds and say, you are now listening to This Week in League, available on Apple Podcasts. We must remind you that daycare pickup is to be contactless in the time of COVID and get back to your regularly scheduled work duties.
I think that's about it. You got anything else to add?
No. Not at all. Unless you want to go through what we're going to be doing for Origin, but...
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, we may as well. I mean, it kind of... Oh, well, you know, I guess it does affect everybody.
It does.
Okay, so Origin is a interesting situation because the games are on Wednesdays. So our episodes are generally recorded on Wednesday nights, which puts us in a bit of a predicament. So what we'll be doing is this. Digimembers... We've got to get some live game streams going for you guys. State of Origin games 1, 2, and 3 are going to be it. We will get some more details bedded down and we'll sort out how we're going to do all this and provide the links to you guys. But on Wednesday, State of Origin day game days, we will be sending you guys a link where you can catch the live stream of us basically just doing a show while Origin's on, talking about the game that's happening, talking about whatever other shit comes up, and immediately following the games, we'll be recording our Origin wrap-up episode.
Yep.
And which we'll probably sort of talk about the next game, coming up after that as well, I guess.
Yep.
And because they're just back-to-back-to-back this time, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah, so we'll probably record our episodes on Wednesday night, a little bit later than usual, but they'll be short. They'll only be one game, and then we'll talk about the potentiality of the next Origin game after that. Mm-hmm. And Digimembers, you get a live stream one, and I think we'll be able to record it as well. So we do it with the Twillies and that, so we'll be able to do that as well. So we'll record it, and it'll go up as in the member sides as well for you guys if you can't join us live. But yeah, we'll be doing them live. And speaking of the Twillies, they'll be coming up after the week after Game 3 of the State of Origin series, and that'll be our last episode of the year. I think it'll be close to fucking December, I think.
Yeah.
And we'll start doing, as we have done the last couple of years, we'll initially hit the Digi members up and we'll start getting some short lists for our voting categories. The way, if you're new to the whole thing, the way the Twillies usually works is we'll have, you know, for a position like where it's a single position on the field, like for example, fullback, you know, we may have a ballot of four choices to vote for the fullback of the year.
Yep.
We usually throw six in there if it's a double position, like, you know, like second row, center, winger, that sort of thing. And yeah, we'll work through and get the ballot sorted out that is representative of what you guys want. And then the votes will go up, you know, sometime during the State of Origin series.
Yep.
And our Twilly episode will be the last episode of the year, and it'll happen after Origin.
Nice.
I think that just about covers everything.
Fantastic.
So on that note, see you next week.
Later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.